Second Chronicles, chapter 9. In our series on great personages of the Bible, we've arrived at the life of Solomon. The title of our message this evening, A Candid Visit with the King. I have a question to ask you tonight as we share our devotion this evening from 2 Chronicles chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 8 in a few moments. What is it in your Christian life that might attract someone who does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Perhaps it might be the simple love of Christ that flows through you towards meeting people's needs. It may be the love of Christ that radiates through you towards people, that they see that you care for them in a special way. It may be that cup of cold water that you give to someone that is in need. It may be not just words, but deeds of love and compassion. Perhaps loving the unlovely that the world has a tendency to snub and turn its nose up on. What is it in our lives that demonstrates the reality of our knowing the Lord in a personal way? Perhaps it may be a trial that you are going through, and eyes are watching you in the workplace. They're aware of that negative result that you received on an examination or a test that you were going through. And you're going through a hard trial or testing. Perhaps it might be your conduct on the job when you are treated unjustly, and they're watching your response. The Word of God reads in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning with verse 3, "When the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, the meat on his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, 'It was a true report which I had heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came. And mine eyes had seen it. And now, behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on his throne to be king. For the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore made he thee king over them, to do judgment and justice.'" The Queen of Sheba, possibly coming all the way from Yemen to visit Solomon, thousands of miles, having heard his testimony. You know, our Lord referred to the Queen of Sheba in the New Testament. The testimony of Sheba and Solomon and their existence is quoted not only in secular documents from the Middle East and Ethiopia, but even the Quran makes references to Solomon and the visit from the Queen of Sheba. But scripturally and accurately, the Word of God is its own commentary. And I want you to look with me at the book of Matthew, chapter 12, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 12. Notice the words, the dispensational words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 12. Keep in mind the setting of Matthew 12. The nation of Israel has come to the pinnacle of their unbelief. They have committed what the Lord calls the unpardonable sin. They have reached the point where they have said no to the moving of the Spirit of God so many times that their hearts are now confirmed in unbelief. The unpardonable sin, incidentally, can only be committed by non-believers. No one can ever know this side of heaven who commits it and when it is committed. Only God Himself. The unpardonable sin is when a non-believer says no for the last day of opportunity. God in His sovereignty knows when a person arrives at that destination. We have no right to judge men's souls and say, aha, he is a reprobate, he will never be saved, he has heard for the last time. Only God knows. But that frightful time does come in the lives of many people. Brother Dick Sauer, who works with hospice, who works with people right up to the last second of their lives, perhaps unknowingly ministers to people at that fateful time more than others in this sanctuary. Because an individual may have the last opportunity when they're taking their last breath. And even a person that may appear to be comatose can oftentimes have that one element, the element of hearing, that oftentimes is the last to go before one dies. But here the nation of Israel had committed the unpardonable sin. And it's interesting that the Lord appeals to the Old Testament narrative, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, about the visit of the Queen of Sheba to see Solomon. And notice, in the context of the unpardonable sin, where Israel collectively has committed that confirmation and unbelief, ascribing to the devil and Beelzebub the power of the Holy Spirit, notice the words of Jesus. It says here in verse 42 of Matthew 12, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, the generation that rejected Jesus at His coming, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus Christ, the very beat stroke of God. Jesus Christ, the express image of the Father. The Word, the Logos, the spoken, visible Word incarnate has come, and Israel has committed that unpardonable sin of rejection. But I think of it in this fashion. Here we have the Queen of Sheba hearing these truths about Solomon. Finally, she comes and she visits Solomon in all of his glory. What a picture of a Gentile making his way to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a picture of a person responding to the wisdom of the Word of God. And Jesus uses this as an evangelistic warning to people who hear and do not act. Every one of us have had an encounter, perhaps even recently, where we've talked and witnessed to people and they have not responded to the Word of God. In verse 41, we have the example of Nineveh, which is not the topic of our message this evening. But notice it says here in verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with the generation that rejected Jesus when he came, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. That's referring to Jonah and his preaching as he preached to the Ninevites. Pagans, Gentiles, yet they were willing to come. God's chosen people who had rejected the prophets, who had rejected the Word of God, privileged position, rejected Jesus Christ. That's the first lesson that we really should receive from the experience of the Queen of Sheba's visit to Solomon. We ought to give it the application that Jesus gave. That here is a picture of someone far away responding to the truth of God's Word. And yet many people that are very near reject it. Isn't that true of our great beloved America? You go to the foreign field and you will see people who will travel tens of miles to hear one message from God's Word. You have people that have to travel from one village to another to find a location to meet so that they can hear God's Word. And when they get there, they literally camp out, sometimes for days. And they just want to hear the Word of God, all that they can get, all that they can get. You know, that generation of people in the foreign soils rise up in judgment against even our own nation, so near and yet so far from receiving the truth of God's Word. That's the first lesson that we can get from the narrative which we have read on Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. But then there's another lesson, and it's the lesson of what the Bible says we ought to be in order to be a magnet to attract other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon demonstrated the glory of God and thus attracted people. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, the Word of God says in verse 10 that we are to adorn the doctrine of God. Wow, how do you do that? How can you improve on the doctrine of God? Nobody can improve on theology. All we need to do is unleash it. All we need to do is preach it, one verse at a time. And yet, the Bible says we, as God's people, have the responsibility of adorning the doctrine of God. Now, most of us know what it means to adorn a Christmas tree. And most of us know how to adorn a house. Maybe some of you move into a house and it's got plain vanilla walls, earth tone carpets, and everything is just blah about it. But then some of you ladies that are home style interior decorators, you know how to adorn that home. And you get, you know, all of these artificial trees, or you get plants, and you get all of these, and you know how to just use the right kind of paint and carpet and decorate that thing before you know it. Wow, it's just a beautiful, beautiful home. Adorning. Well, you know, we as Christians need to adorn the doctrine of God. We need to decorate it in such a way that people see it in our lives. We demonstrate the doctrine of God in our lives and in our conduct so that people are attracted to the things of the Lord. Now, in that Titus chapter 2 and verse 10 passage, if you'll turn to that passage, the Word of God reads that we are not to be purloining, that means stealing, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness, that we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Solomon adorned his God. Everything he did was first class. The beautification of the temple, his home, his words, his conduct decorated the doctrine of God. Let me give you another verse to ponder. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Verse 6 as well. Here we have the glory and the doxology unto the Lord. And it says in verse 5, our Lord is the first begotten of the dead. He's the first fruit, in other words. And the prince of the kings of the earth, King of kings, Lord of lords, higher than Solomon himself, certainly, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And notice this, compare yourself to Solomon now. And he has made us kings and priests. Just as Solomon, the king, exalted God and drew attention to his God, even by the Queen of Sheba as she came all the way from Yemen in southern Saudi Arabia, that great distance to come. Even so, we are kings and priests unto our Lord. And we need to represent our Lord as kings and priests unto our Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5 and verse 13. The Lord says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Then he uses another simile. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. We had all kinds of fun when the hurricanes came through Central Florida. We made use of our candles, didn't we? And when you lit a candle, you didn't put it under a coffee table. Rather, you put it where its light will illuminate the entire area the most effectively. But notice verse 16. This is the exhortation for us as believers, as kings unto our Lord. The Word of God says, as Solomon even, it says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. The goal was that Solomon would exalt not just his own name, but his Father who had called him unto himself. Let me just close our few thoughts in our devotion by having you turn to one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid or hidden, it is hid to them that are lost. There are people that do not know Christ as personal Savior that are bound for a Christless eternity. There are people that are truly searching for the truth. Will they be led to a cultist? Will they be led to some New Ager? Will they be led to some televangelist that may be distorting the gospel? Or will they be led to the truth by someone who is adorning the doctrine of God in their lives? The Word of God says in verse 4, the God of this world, small g, Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Notice, we preach not ourselves. It's not our purpose to have Queen of Sheba's, as it were, to come to us, to exalt us, to give us the glory. It's not our purpose to bring people to Central Florida Bible Church to admire individuals or facilities or whatever the case might be. We want to glorify our Lord. We don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants. Let's be servants. Let's preach that message about ourselves. Not as lords, but we are servants for Jesus' sake. Notice verse 6. I trust this will challenge your heart. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts," underline, "to give." That's why the Lord has saved you. That's why the Lord has redeemed you and given you the privilege of representing Him as kings and priests, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do they see Jesus in our lives? Do we adequately represent Him? The Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of God portrayed through a servant of God. May those that we have contact with this week not see us, but may they see Jesus Christ. As we go to prayer this evening, let's commit ourselves. Lord, less of me and more of You. Help me to demonstrate the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Help me to demonstrate the Spirit of Christ the way I talk to my wife. Lord, help me to demonstrate the Spirit of Christ by the way that I talk to my husband, by the way I talk to my children. Help me to demonstrate the Spirit of Christ by the way I operate at work, among co-workers, to my employer, to my employee, to those who even are outside of the household of faith. Help me to adorn the doctrine of Christ. That was Solomon's desire, and I trust it is ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and thank You, Heavenly Father, for the testimony of the Scriptures, that as kings and priests, we are to show forth the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that others might glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Thank You, Lord, for this report that Solomon, the half, was only told. And Father, may we continue to be a witness and a testimony to others, that others would be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.